You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
ITSEF offers a look at Russian hybrid warfare. It aims, experts say, at redressing the loss of the Cold War. Microsoft Internet Information Services 6.0 is found vulnerable to a buffer overflow attack. Cerber ransomware evolves to evade detection. There are bugs found in Siemens ICS products. VMware patches some vulnerabilities. And malicious USB sticks are strewn around a Canadian university campus. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. Cynet's 12th annual IT Security Entrepreneurs Forum, most often known by its acronym ITSEF, convened yesterday in Mountain View, California, with sessions continuing today. ITSEF describes its goal as bringing together policymakers and security technology innovators to discuss ways in which they can cooperate to the benefit of their stakeholders. We'll be publishing detailed accounts of this reciprocal illumination beginning tomorrow. But today, we've been hearing a great deal about Russian hybrid warfare. A panel of cyber threat, intelligence, and foreign affairs experts was asked to comment on Russia's motivation and goals in information operations. The panel's take on the matter was brief, clear, and not offering much ground for hope. Russia, and in particular its president, resents its loss of position caused by the fall of the Soviet Union at the end of the Cold War. They seek to recoup their place in the world and regain the world's respect, which they believe has been damaged through the insult of defeat. They do not see a clear line between war and peace. They see themselves as always in a state of war with the U.S. and Western Europe, and that to fail to damage their adversary through cyber attack and especially information operations would constitute negligence. They do not see the political, economic, and personal domains as distinct, and will use cyber attacks to damage the opposition in any of those spheres. They make extensive use of criminal gangs, since, after all, economic damage to the enemy is counted a gain. And they have a long history of effective propaganda and disinformation. Coincidentally, the Finnish Security Intelligence Services have released their annual report on national security. The cyber threat, especially from Finland's large Russian neighbor, receives prominent attention, and the report, linked in this morning's CyberWire Daily News Brief, is worth checking out. A few new developments in the threat and vulnerability spaces have come to light at midweek. Security vendor Trend Micro reports that Microsoft Internet Information Services, IIS 6.0, is vulnerable to a buffer overflow attack. This zero-day is thought to have been exploited in the wild in July or August of 2016. Trend Micro also reports that Cerber ransomware has shown signs of evolution into a more evasive form. It now has loaders delivered by self-extracting Dropbox files, which seem designed to avoid detection by machine learning security tools. Researchers at the German security firm Cure53 have disclosed bugs in Siemens RuggedCom ROX VPN industrial communication endpoints and firewalls. There are no patches, but Siemens has issued advice on mitigating the vulnerabilities. VMware has issued patches for moderate to critical vulnerabilities found in three of its products, ESXi, Workstation, and Fusion. Users should heed the security bulletin. Election hacking, or at least a big compromise, has come to Hong Kong. The Chinese city's registration and electoral office has disclosed that the loss of two laptops taken from a locked room in the Asia World Expo Conference Center exposed the personal information of some 3.7 million voters. The laptops are said to have been encrypted, but how strong that encryption might be is unknown. Many organizations are moving more and more of their IT infrastructure to the cloud, and data security and compliance are an understandable concern. David Kidd is VP of Governance, Risk, and Compliance at Peak 10, a national IT infrastructure provider. He makes the case that shifting much of the burden of compliance to an outside cloud provider is worth a look.
When you think about an IT professional and the burdens that are under just every day keeping systems up and running, IT professionals are systems guys. You know, these are men and women that deal with technology and making new systems and making them work. They're not attorneys. They're not folks that are up on all of the latest regulations and up on those standards. The basic level and driver of IT professionals is always to push for the new technology. And security professionals are a little more cautious, as are the regulators that they have to answer to and those that define the industry standards that they have to answer to. So when the technology guys said, hey, this is some really neat technology, we want to play around with this and see what we can do, and looking at virtualization and cloud services and the flexibility and the ability to scale up and down and the disaster recovery benefits of virtualization and living in the cloud, that was just really appealing to the technology guys. But if the security and the regulatory folks, they took a look at this and said, you know what, we're scared of this. This makes us nervous. We understand standards where we can look at the box and we can define the limits of the system. We know the limitations of the network and where those system boundaries are. We can look at physical storage and we understand those boundaries. But when you start talking about putting it in the cloud, that scares us. We're frightened of it. And they really said no and pushed back hard on that for a while. Some of that was internal with larger organizations particularly, and some of that was external because, frankly, regulators did not understand the cloud in the early days. And over time, the financial side started to look at this, and they were hearing about the benefits. They would hear in the hallways the conversations that those IT guys would have when they were excited about the new technology and said, well, it helps us with the refresh costs. It helps us with disaster recovery and makes that faster and cheaper. It gives us the ability to scale up and down as business needs change. And that puts some pressure back on the regulatory world and the security world to say, you know what, we need to come up with a way to make this cloud work and work well and provide the security that we need. To be able to take a piece of that burden off of them and know that the underlying infrastructure that they are building their systems on top of is not only highly available and highly secure, but to know that it meets the regulatory requirements and industry standards that they are beholden to is an enormous relief, because that's just one piece that they don't have to chase after and have to get up to speed on.
That's David Kidd from Peak 10. Just as physical loss can pose a threat to data and systems, so too can things physically found. Canada's Carleton University sustained a ransomware attack in November 2016, but the university has now found another hardware-delivered threat. USB sticks left strewn about the campus. The devices contain a keylogger. It's unclear whether there have been any successful infections, and it's not known if there's any connection to last year's ransomware incident. We close today's report with some sad news. Trend Micro's CTO, Raymond Genes, passed away suddenly over the weekend at his family's home in Germany. He'd been one of those most responsible for building Trend Micro. He was well-liked and much respected in the security community, and he'll be missed. He was only 54. Our condolences to his family, friends, and colleagues, as people who work in InfoSec look back at a life that, while too short, was nonetheless well-lived.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
Joining me once again is Joe Kerrigan. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute. Joe, we got a story that came by on Ars Technica about an IoT device. This is actually a teddy bear from a company called Spiral Toys. And the line of toys are called Cloud Pets.
Right. Sounds like a great idea.
There's an indicator right there, Cloud Pets, so we know what's going on with this. And I guess the notion here is that these stuffed animals could record some kind of a voice message from a grandparent, and the voice would come out of the bear, and
right.
The kids could record a message, and the grandparents could get the message out of the bear. And this all sounds fun and adorable
and creepy.
Yeah, probably a little bit creepy, but they had a problem because turns out over 2 million of these messages got leaked online.
Right, and they were using a very secure password hashing algorithm called Bcrypt.
Yeah.
There is some debate about the security I've seen in the community about whether or not it's secure, but I like it. And mind you, I'm not a cryptographer, but one of the things I like about Bcrypt is, unlike other hashing algorithms, you can make it more difficult as time goes on. So it's pretty resistant to brute force cracking.
Okay.
However, these people at Spiral Toys didn't enforce a good password policy. So you could use a single character as your password.
Mm.
Well, it takes a very short amount of time to run through every single one-character password. And whatever right. percentage of people are using one-character passwords, if those passwords are leaked, they're already known. They're known within seconds of those passwords being leaked. Because there are these password cracking tools. My favorite is called Hashcat. Anybody can go out and download this.
Uh-huh.
If you have a GPU, which is a graphics card for gaming, even a commodity GPU can crack passwords at an impressive rate.
So in terms of these toys, then because of the allowance of weak passwords,
right.
People can are they just tossing random things into Hashcat to see if they stick? How does it work?
Yeah, well, first thing you do is you check the lists of known passwords, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
Every year somebody publishes the ten most common passwords, and every year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is one of them, right?
Right.
So
sure. Yeah.
So that's the first one you guess, and then you go through, and you'll probably get maybe 0.5% of the passwords will be cracked with that top 10 list. But 0.5% is a significant number of passwords that you can crack with a top 10 list. And there are password lists that are hundreds long, 10,000 long, the top 10,000 passwords. You can just Google these and find them. You put them as an input file into Hashcat, and it just goes through and brute forces the passwords using the list. Then you can apply other things called rules, like common substitutions. For example, instead of using an A, I'm going to substitute an at sign, or maybe
right.
I'm going to substitute a 4.
Sure.
I can find more passwords. Just because I've changed the word password to capital P, at sign 55W0RD, that doesn't make it any more secure. It's still password, and there's only a couple of rules I need to apply to crack that password.
The lesson here that we come back to many times,
right,
is you can't assume that any of these IoT connected devices,
right,
are actually secure.
Yeah, we get back to the same problem that we always talk about with the IoT, and that's surface area. All you're doing when you buy these things and put them in your house is you're increasing your attack surface and how many different ways attackers have to exploit things that are on your network.
Joe Kerrigan, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.